Montreal's Blue Line is getting 5 new stations by 2031. On Tuesday, Montreal Mayor Valérie Plante, as well as STM Chair Eric Allan Caldwell, and a coterie of officials and community representatives gathered to unveil the 5 new station names. But now that we've actually been to the site of one of the stations and we know what they're going to be called, what should we expect from the project, whose cost has already ballooned from $6.4 to $7.6 billion? To understand why the project costs so much and what the city's actually hoping to achieve, I'm joined by Lancelot Rodrigue. He's a PhD researcher with transportation research at McGill, where he studies public transit financing. Lancelot, thanks for coming on CKUT.
Thanks for having me.
So we've been hearing about the Blue Line extension for a while now. You know, with this public announcement, we learned that this is the first metro stations built on island since 1988. What should we make of this major news, this big new plan development for the east of Montreal?
I mean, as you're saying, like it is major news because it's been a long time since we've had like new stations on island. I would say it's beyond just the project itself, which we can touch on afterwards. I think just the idea that there's a new project being built, there's something new, there's an investment being made, even though it took a long time. It's a good starting point to get used to building these type of projects again. We had the REM, of course, which was different, but like the metro and getting involved with this, recreating that kind of expertise will be a benefit for not just in Montreal, but like for the province as a whole when launching these big projects.
Yeah, and you mentioned the REM. So, I mean, famously, the REM is a public-private partnership connecting the city of Montreal to more suburban areas in the greater Montreal area. Can you speak a little bit more about the importance of a public project? You know, we saw representatives of all levels of government come together with Montreal's transit agency, the STM, to make this announcement today. From this PPP model, public-private partnership, to a genuinely public project, you know, what's the importance of that shift? Does it signal anything?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the main difference is it allows for like more transparency, I would say, in the planning process. It also allows to put public interest at the forefront and not have the ideas of like profitability being involved at all in a project. And I would say in this case, what really enabled this project to come to be in that aspect is that the STM was given rights that the REM developers, the Kids Depot, were given and that were not existent before when other projects were proposed, which included expropriation rights, expanded like abilities to develop next to the stations, which make the project more viable and also enables a public project in a shorter time frame or like in a budget that's likely more likely to be respected than what we maybe are more used to in the last few years in terms of big projects in Quebec.
Okay, so you're saying that it's more likely that we're going to stick within the numbers we've been given. Just for listeners, a recap of some of those numbers. The project is expected to cost $7.6 billion. The previous estimate was 6.4. This is going to be 5 stations, 6 kilometers of metro network. And the STM is projecting 69,000 passengers using the new section each day. You studied transit financing. How did those numbers sound to you? How does it add up?
I mean, the budget is very high. There's not hiding that. The main issue with this, why it got so high, is the waiting. I mean, this project has been in line for 40 years. Had it been done back in the days, it would have cost, even adjusted for inflation, it would have cost a fraction of the price now. The longer you wait, the more everything is developed around, the more expensive it becomes to do it. And the expertise is getting lost through time. So you have to rebuild, bring back all of that expertise to building these big infrastructure. As per the other numbers, I would say the ridership estimates, I'm a bit doubtful at the moment. I think these might be including what we call induced ridership. So like ridership from all the developments that will at term after maybe 1, 2, 3 decades afterwards be built around the station. So that's probably like very long-term numbers for ridership. But it's still a very important infrastructure to be built.
Yeah, so you would say it's a good investment then?
Yes, I would say so, because the main thing that it does, I would say from the transportation perspective, it's good in providing option in kind of the center east of the island, connecting to another big project, which maybe isn't as fancy, but a very important PNF BRT.
So the bus rapid transit?
Yes, exactly.
Which I actually, I took earlier today, and it was packed with people.
Yeah, it's a very important infrastructure, and like having that connected with the metro will make it much easier to reach all the center of the island, the big poles like the Université de Montréal and all of that. So it would be important. But like beyond that, it's a very important project just in revitalizing all of the strip malls that are there and allowing options for more housing to be built in areas where people can move around without needing a car, where they can have access to the metro and public transit to move around. So it's very important in organizing and stimulating really, I would say, housing developments, which is a lot of what transportation at the moment is mostly allowing, is that opening up areas to build denser without needing people to have a car living there.
You know, we heard as well that the project, and you've said this, has been years in the making. Why do you think it's actually taken this long? Like, you talked about the loss of expertise and the ballooning budget as a result of this wait. Why have we been waiting so long?
I think, well, it's a common issue that's been coming since the 80s. Like, it's not just in Quebec, it's across Canada, it's like in the US as well, where it's kind of like with more neoliberal perspective of transit, people have seen it as needing to be more efficient. And like, it's not something to be like financially efficient. You're not going to make money out of public transit. It's a public service. So there's kind of this aspect that grew in place, and like in the 80s and the 90s, and like the longer you wait, the more expensive it becomes. And then the more expensive it becomes, the less likely you are to start again, because you make the argument, oh, it's too expensive, it's not worth it. So it's kind of an endless cycle where if you don't accept that it costs something to get it started, and like, to be honest, like at the point when it was first announced and proposed, like I think it was like the late 70s or early 80s, the metro was being built constantly. It wouldn't have cost that much. But stopping that train really showed that it takes time to get it rolling, like starting again. And I would say a lot of the time as well, it's whether or not there's incentives from a political standpoint in favorizing a specific area of the city. Like if we think about like the RAM, famously is going a lot into the West Island, which was like strongholds for like more like the government at the time. So like there's always political aspects to different projects. But yeah, I would say the main thing is really like once you stop developing public transit, it's very hard to get it started again because the costs just keep piling up the longer you wait building these big projects.
Lancelot, that's all my questions. Thank you so much for coming on CKUT. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
For CKUT, I'm Jules Bugel with the Local Journalism Initiative.